Amen. Thank you, young men. I appreciate that. That's a great song. Praise the Lord. It is about the cross. It's about what Jesus did, not what we can do, but what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we thank the Lord for that. Take your Bibles this morning. Open the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to read a little bit of a lengthy passage this morning. And I'll be honest, we're going to read it for context, but I'm not going to be able to get into all of it this morning, just because it's such a large passage here. So we'll kind of break this up over a couple weeks here. We're going to start in verse number 16, and we're going to go down to verse number 28, okay? So we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 16, down to verse number 28. He says, I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would just work in our hearts this morning. Thank you for just the great singing this morning, just lifting up the name of Jesus and Lord, helping us look to you. And I pray even this morning as we open your word that we would again look to you, Lord, not looking at a man, not looking at a religion or a church, but Lord, looking to you. And so, Father, I pray that you would just bless now. Lord, speak to hearts as only you can. Lord, help us to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is a very, like I said, this is a big passage here. And there's no way in 40 minutes or so that we can look at all that is being spoken about here. So I want to kind of break this up, and really I want to focus on a specific part here this morning. And really, that's basically just verses 16 down to verse number 20 is what we're really going to focus on this morning. But as we begin here, Paul, he kind of starts off by apologizing for what he's about to say, as we kind of saw that in the very first part of the chapter. But he's going to talk a little bit about himself through this chapter, as we saw that, right? Basically, in verses 22 down to 28, he kind of talks about himself a little bit. And here's the thing that I think we can all agree about with the Apostle Paul. Paul had no problem talking about the Lord. Paul had no problem even talking about what the Lord went through and his sufferings that he went through for us. But Paul, throughout all of his writings, he always seems very hesitant to speak of his own painful experiences as a servant of God, right? In fact, this is one of the few places that we can find really all that Paul went through. He doesn't talk about it a lot, right? And we look through this and we're like, good night. I can honestly say I don't know that I would have been as faithful as Paul if I would have went through what we just read he went through. I mean, there's some pretty serious things that he goes through, and we'll see that later. But I mean, just think, the first thing he mentions, he says, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Now, again, we know the Lord Jesus Christ was whipped with a cat of nine tails 40 times, right? But Jesus endured that one time. Paul says he was beaten five times with 40 stripes, save one. So, I mean, I cannot even imagine all that Paul went through and the suffering and things that he went through. And so he says, I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me that I may boast myself a little. So Paul says, you know, he says here, he says, I'm gonna talk a little bit about myself. And here's really kind of the reason why, because he says in verse 18, he says, seeing that many glory after the flesh. So he says, I will glory also. Now, I understand what he's saying. Paul says, it seems like in the church of Corinth, the glorying or boasting about self was kind of the end thing, right? That was kind of the thing now, right? They were just glorying in self. They were boasting about self. And so Paul says, I can do that too, and I'll do that, but I'm not gonna do it for my benefit. I'm gonna do this for your benefit, he says, right? He said, this isn't for me. He says, I'm gonna say these things and I'm gonna do this for you, okay? He says, again, in verse number 19, for ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. So he tells them here in verse number 19 that they are suffering or they are allowing or enduring with these false teachers, or as he calls them, fools. Right? I mean, that's what he says. For ye suffer fools gladly. Now, he's not saying they are suffering. He said the word suffer means to allow, right? He says you're allowing these fools happily, gladly. You're allowing these false teachers, saying you yourselves are wise. You're doing this thinking that you are somehow wise by doing this, okay? But what he's going to bring about in verse number 20 is really what we would say the foolishness. What he's going to show in verse number 20 is what they were allowing or enduring. And I think it's interesting as we'll go through this that I think we can see, honestly, we can see the same today in many churches. And so Paul is trying to help them see that they are being used by these false teachers that have come in. Again, we kind of looked at a little bit about this last week about the disguise of the devil and how he uses these false teachers who are proclaiming themselves to be ministers of Christ, saying that they are apostles of Christ, right? So we're not gonna go all back into that. If you missed it, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. But as he's moving on here, he's saying, look, these false teachers they're using you instead of serving you. You're being used by them. And again, they have rejected Paul, right? They've said, Paul, you know, Paul is not really a great apostle, you know, because Paul was humble. He was Christ-like in his leadership. And instead, they were admiring these false teachers because they looked powerful. They sounded impressive. They promised success. And so they were admiring these false teachers for what they were saying and kind of ridiculing Paul, right? They said, I mean, look at Paul. I mean, he doesn't even look right, right? I mean, he doesn't sound good when he talks. He doesn't look right. He just doesn't fit the part of an apostle. So don't listen to Paul. Listen to us, these false teachers were saying. I mean, we fit the part. We look like apostles. We speak well and look at all the things that we're promising. But what Paul is going to show is behind the polished image of these false teachers was spiritual abuse and manipulation. And that's what we're going to look at this morning is spiritual manipulation. And I'm going to be honest with you. This morning it's a little bit heavy topic, okay? Because I know in this church, I know there are people that have been, Can I use the term hurt by church or church hurt, right? I know we have people that have been church hurt. I know people that have, basically they have quit church. They have stopped church. They've stopped going to church. They've, because of something that happened in a church, okay? And so this morning, we're gonna look at this spiritual manipulation that takes place. And this is what Paul is pointing out, right? Paul's gonna be very clear what spiritual manipulation looks like, okay? Just because someone stands up and says they're a man of God doesn't mean you just automatically listen to what they say and follow them. There is a lot of people standing up saying they are men of God, women of God, people of God, and they are spiritually manipulating people, and it's actually turning them away from God. And so again, this is a little bit more of a heavy topic that we're going to be looking at this morning. And you know, and this is why I'm so thankful the way that we the way that God has led me to preach is I like to take a book of the Bible and go through it, because I don't have to come up with the topics. God does. God comes up with the topics. And sometimes we can shy away from things and we're like, well, that's really heavy. Let's not touch on that. Let's just kind of go around it. But we're just gonna go through it, right? We're gonna go through it and we're gonna learn from it. And I hope you can learn from it and help to point out some things as we'll go through these things. Because again, Paul is saying behind all of that polish and all of that appearance, there is a spiritual abuse. There is spiritual manipulation. Okay, and so we're going to look at these things. So notice the first thing that he tells us here is he talks about the unwary believers. Right, this is what we see in verses 16 to 19. The unwary believers. Now again, I believe Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and he's writing to people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He's writing to the church. But what happened is after Paul left, these false teachers began to come in and began to kind of put themselves into the church. And now they're leading these believers astray, right? So Paul has a love for the church of Corinth. Every church that Paul helps to get established, we can see he has a love for them. In fact, notice that the last verse that we read there in verse number 28, he said, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul said he had a heart for the churches that he had helped establish. He had a heart for the people that he had led to the Lord, and that the people that had come into these churches and that were growing, and he has a heart for them. And so that's why he is willing to call out some things, okay? He's gonna call out some things. And so he talks about these unwary believers, okay? Again, he says, let no man think me a fool, right? He says, I'm not being crazy. I'm not being facetious here. He says, seeing that many glory after the flesh. So this is kind of what everybody's doing. They're all about the appearance. They're all about, look what I have done. Look who I am. Okay. And so Paul says, you're putting up with fools. You're putting up with these false teachers gladly, happily, right? He says, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also, for ye suffer fools gladly. He says, you have allowed these false teachers to come in, and you're putting up with them. It's really not even putting up with them. You're glad they're there. You're excited. You're following them. You're all in. You're on board with what they're saying. And he says, this is very concerning to me, because you're not listening to what they're saying. You're not looking at what they're doing, right? You're looking at an appearance. You're looking at how someone has presented themselves, and you're saying, well, this must just be a man of God. And you're not listening to what they're really teaching. You're not watching what they're actually doing, right? And this can be a danger, I can say, because they were impressed by the showy personalities, the flashy speeches, the confidence, right? That they're equating eloquence with being of God, right? Because they can sound really good. Well, they must be from God, right? It's interesting. Moses had a problem with what? Speaking, right? He had a problem with his speech. He said, I can't speak right, right? God says, well, I'll send Aaron to help you, right? Just because someone can't say the right words doesn't mean they're not from God, right? That just because someone isn't eloquent right? I listen to preachers sometimes, and they preach, and their outlines are all alliterated. I can't even say the word. I'm illiterate, right? They're alliterated, right? You know, they've got every point begins with a letter, and then the subpoints begin with a letter, and then they've got subpoints to the subpoints, and it's like, I'm like, I'm lucky if I can find a point. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that's wrong to what they're doing. I'm just saying but sometimes we can look at that and boy, this person's got the points and they've got the subpoints and they've got the poem and they've got the illustrations. They got all this. And then we look at someone over here who may not have all those things. We're like, well, that person must be more of God than this person. Wait a minute. He says, you're a little unwary here. You're not being careful in what you're doing. Okay. And again, even today, many churches or many people will judge a church by the size of it. Well, what's the size of the church? As if size equals spirituality, right? What's the size of the church? Or, you know, what's the style? Or what's the pastor's, you know, is the pastor charismatic, you know, or is he reserved? What's his charismatic aspect of it? Or instead of looking and saying, does the church preach sound doctrine? Right? What is the teaching of the church? What is the preaching of the church? You know, we focus more, and this is what Paul is saying, you're focusing more on the appearance than actually what is being taught, the doctrine that's being taught. And so he's saying, hey, he's giving them a word of warning here, right? Because here's the problem, especially in our day today, and I think we see it here, people want to be entertained, not discipled. People go to church for entertainment purposes, not to become more like Jesus Christ. Entertain me. And if you can entertain me for 45 minutes, if you can entertain me for an hour and a half, okay, I'll come back. But then when the service is over and you ask them, well, what was the message about? Well, I feel really good. Wait, what was the message about? What did you learn? Was there conviction? Was there encouragement? What was the doctrine that was being taught? Did you see that praise team? I mean, they just had it today. They were on fire today. You see, we come more for entertainment than we do to learn from what God has for us. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying you can't learn from the music that is being sung. That's not what I'm saying. Right? But when the entertainment becomes the focus, guess what I can tell you gets pushed to the side? Doctrine. Because now it's all about the entertainment, right? It's all about the performance, right? Yeah, these guys practiced up here. There's no doubt about it. They practiced the song, but they're not up here performing, right? They're not up here, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, if they did, I would kill them, right? All four of them, right? And I know two of them are mine and I could kill them. And I know the parents of the other two and they would kill them before or after I killed them too, yeah. Because it's not a performance. They're not up here performing. They're not up here wanting for that applause. Oh, look at me, look how great I am. Look at how well I sing. You know, that's not what it's about. What was the song? What was the message of the song? That's what the focus should be. And so he's saying these believers, they were unwary. When believers stop discerning truth and start admiring performance and personalities, they become easy prey. We become easy prey. And so we need to be careful what you admire about a ministry, because not all success is spiritual success. I want you to notice the second thing here. So here's what Paul does. He shows the exploitation of these false leaders. He shows how they're exploiting the church, right? Notice in verse number 20, for ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. So he's showing them how they're being exploited here, right? And he brings out five ways that churches or these false teachers exploit people. And may I say, this ought to be something that every Christian ought to be aware of, right? When you go into a church, you ought to be listening. Is there sound doctrine being taught here, right? What's the main emphasis? Is it all about performance? Is it all about entertainment? Or is it about discipleship and really learning from the Word of God and growing in Christ and helping me to become more like Jesus Christ? But watch these five things that he's bringing out. He lists five things that we could say that these false churches do to take advantage of people, right? So notice the first one. Again, he says, for ye suffer, you're allowing this to happen, okay? If a man bring you into bondage, so here's the first one, they control people. They control people. He says, you're allowing them to bring you into bondage. These leaders are dominating instead of serving. You remember, Jesus said, I came not to be ministered to, but to minister. Jesus said, I didn't come for people to serve me. I came to serve others. And in a lot of churches today, it's the reverse. How is the church going to serve me? I said, wait a minute. For a pastor, it's my job to serve you. That's what my job is. My job is to serve. And one thing that I tell people, I tell people this all the time, please don't ever feel bad if you have questions you want to ask. Please don't ever feel bad if you need to come and make an appointment and talk to me in my office. Well, I don't want to take your time. That is my time. That's why God has called me to be a pastor. I'm here to serve you. I want to help. I want to be encouragement. I want to be a blessing to you. But in so many ways, it's almost like the pastor is now, he is separate from everybody else. Somehow that the pastor is more holy and more spiritual and untouchable. Why? Because he's trying to control the people. They bind people with fear, with rules, or loyalty to a man rather than Christ. Wait a minute, hold on. He says, you've got to be careful about this, right? May I say, be very careful if you are in a church where you cannot question the pastor. Now, can I say this? Okay. There is a right time and a wrong time. Okay, there's a right time and a wrong time. Okay. But I tell you this all the time. The very ones that should be checking to make sure that I am preaching the Word of God is not a deacon board, it's not a trustee board, it's not. Guess who it is? It's you. You're the ones that are supposed to be checking and make sure what I'm teaching is right. And if there's ever a hint of like, wow, I'm not sure about that. I should go and talk to pastor. Well, how dare you question the man of God? Do you understand that I am just like you? I'm just like you. I am a sinner saved by grace just like you. That maybe the only difference is God has called me to be the pastor and maybe God didn't call you to be the pastor. That's the only difference. Other than that, there's no difference. If you're saved and I'm saved, we're in the same family, right? But what happens is in many of these churches, they're there to control people. You know, if you, how dare you even think about leaving this church? If you leave this church, you are out of God's will. What are they? They're trying to control, right? They're trying to control you in every aspect. Man, not only can I not question what's being taught, not only can I not talk about, if I even think about leaving, then maybe I lose my salvation or maybe now I'm out of God's will or something. And they control people with fear. And he says, hey, what are they doing? If a man bring you into bondage, and he said, this is what's so amazing. You're allowing this to happen. You're letting it happen. You're allowing it. And he's trying to open their eyes and say, hold on a second. This is not good. It's not good. Ministries that replace grace with guilt. They replace freedom with fear. Look, I want people to stay members of this church. But I'm thankful that if a person chooses to leave this church and go somewhere else, that when I see them in a store, somebody come up and say, hey, brother, it's good to see you, man. How you been? And it's been amazing that we've had some people that have left, and you know what they've done? They've been able to come back. You know why? Because we didn't make them feel bad for leaving. Bless God, you're not right with God if you're leaving this church. There is no other church like our church. Well, I would agree with that. There is no other church like our church, but, right? But that doesn't mean that somehow somebody is not able to find spiritual growth somewhere else. So he says they're controlling you. Notice the second thing he says here. If a man devour you, in other words, they consume you. They're consuming your resources, basically. These leaders are not feeding the flock, they feed on the flock. There's a difference there. They're not feeding the flock, they are feeding on the flock. They drain people financially, they drain people emotionally, right? And again, some will promise blessings, right, for donations, and others guilting people into endless service without caring for their well-being. You know, you kind of make light of it, but at the same time, it's sad that it's so true. You know, I've seen people, you know, and even some of these, you know, even some of these like big name people, televangelists, people like this, and they'll have, literally, I saw a guy with a table, and he had a stack of handkerchiefs on the table. Handkerchiefs. Everybody know what a handkerchief is? Some of you are like, handkerchief? What's a handkerchief? Right. A handkerchief, you know the thing you blow your nose with, right? That thing. He's got a stack of these white handkerchiefs on a table, and he's laying his hands all over the handkerchiefs, and he says, now, if you'll send in, I'm gonna send you one of these blessed handkerchiefs. Like, did you blow your nose on it or what? You know? But you know what's so sad? There are people that will send money to get a blessed handkerchief. And they do it willingly. What? Why? Because they're unaware. They're not listening. They're looking at a charismatic person. They're thinking about what they're going to get in return instead of how am I going to grow spiritually through this. When ministry becomes more about money or manipulation, can I say it ceases to be the work of Christ? In fact, look in the book of Ezekiel with me. This was God's complaint against the priests in Israel. Look in Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, notice what he says in verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, this is Ezekiel, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Now look, he's telling Ezekiel, you prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, those that are calling themselves the spiritual leaders of Israel. Prophesy against them. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel. Watch. That do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? He says they're all about themselves, but he says a shepherd is supposed to be about the flock and making sure the flock is fed. He says, ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. He said, you take from them and you take from them and you take from them, but you don't give anything to them. You don't serve them. You don't make sure they have food. He says, woe unto you. He says, the diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Understand what he's saying? He's saying they're consuming you. It's not about, again, it's not about them serving you. It's about how are you going to serve them? And look, I really wish some people wouldn't call themselves pastors. They call themselves pastors. But I've heard of churches where the people in the church, if you want to buy a car, you have to go to the pastor and get permission to buy the car. And then he has to tell you what kind you can buy. And what color it needs to be. Look, friend, I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to warn you. You better get out of that place. And he says, this is what they do. They control people. They consume you. Notice again, look back what he says there in 2 Corinthians. He says, if a man take of you. In other words, they're exploiting your trust. They're exploiting you. They take advantage of the person's generosity. They take advantage of their time. They take advantage of the work that they do. He says, they're exploiting you. They want to receive the honor, but they don't give that spiritual nourishment to help somebody to grow spiritually. I've told people all the time, our services and everything that we do here at our church is structured in a way because we want you to grow spiritually. We want you to grow spiritually. Whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's Sunday night through our snapshots and learning about different books of the Bible, whether it's Wednesday night going through a book just verse by verse, learning from the Word of God, whether it's the Bible Institute, whether it's discipleship, everything we do is we just want you to grow. We just want you to become more like Jesus Christ. We want to encourage you and help you to walk what he wants you to do. But he says there's many that are exploiting them. They're trying to take, and may I say, be careful when a ministry's main goal is to get something from you instead of giving something to you, instead of helping you to grow and helping you to be more like Jesus Christ. Notice the fourth thing here. He says, if a man exalt himself, it's self-promotion. They make themselves the center, their name, their brand, their reputation. Now, let me just say this. I understand a church, if you look at most churches, a church will kind of take on the personality of the pastor who's leading them. I get that. That's not what we're talking about here, okay? It's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about a church kind of taking on the personality, right? Again, a lot of times, you know, the music that is sung is kind of, it kind of goes along with the personality of the pastor, what he kind of likes and what he thinks is going to help the church. Right? The way the church is structured is going to kind of go along the personality of the pastor. Not every church has a Bible Institute. Not every church has discipleship, right? And so many of the things that we see in a church may be done because of the personality of the pastor, but if the pastor is the one trying to promote himself and say, hey, look at me, this is all about me, that's when it's got to be careful. That's when he says, hey, whoa, hold on a second. They're self-promoting. They're wanting followers, not disciples of Jesus Christ. They're saying, follow me. I want you to be my follower, right? I want, man, everything needs to go through Pastor Andrew. Everything needs to go through me. He says, we shouldn't be wanting followers. We should be wanting people to become disciples of Jesus, to help them to grow in their faith and in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Because again, if a church is built on a personality instead of Christ, instead of doctrine, instead of scripture, it's corrupted. Because if the church is built on a person, the pastor, can I tell you this? This pastor is the first person that will admit as a member of this church that he is a sinful man. This church can never be perfect because the pastor is sinful. By the way, you're sinful too, okay? Don't be like, ooh, pastor. I'm willing to admit it, right? I'm a sinful man. I'm not perfect. Okay? Sometimes people come to church, I'm looking for the perfect church. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find the perfect church. Now, you can find some great churches, and I think First Baptist is a great church, but we're not perfect, right? We're not a perfect church. So how do you know we're not perfect? Go look in the mirror. We're not perfect, right? But I can tell you this, I believe I can absolutely, without any shadow of a doubt, say that this church wants people to come to know Jesus Christ more than anything else. This church wants people to grow in their walk with Jesus Christ. It's not about a man. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. I want you to notice the fifth thing here. He says, if a man smite you on the face, that's a shocking image, isn't it? Now, I don't know that Paul is literally saying they physically would abuse people. I think the idea is this verbal, emotional, and spiritual abuse that is just so uncalled for that it would be like if you literally slap someone in the face. I don't think that there would be, I would hope, right? I would hope that there wouldn't be any person that would still follow a pastor or be in a church if they knew that the pastor physically abused members of his church. In other words, slapped them or something, right? You know, if I find out that, you know, Caden down here didn't do something, I'm like, Caden, how dare you? And I get so upset that I physically actually hit him. Something wrong with that. Amen. Yeah, amen. There's something wrong with that, right? By the way, there's something wrong with it in the home too if you're doing it. You physically abuse your husband, your wife, whatever, there's something wrong with that. That's wrong. It's not just in the church where it's wrong anywhere. That's what the Bible says, it's wrong, right? So he's having this idea of this spiritual abuse of a man smite you on the face. You know what's sad? I've been in churches where this has happened and I've seen this happen where the pastor is preaching or whatever, and he begins to verbally abuse people sitting right there in the church. Verbally abusing them. Dr. Brian, how dare you come late to church today? I saw you were 15 minutes late. What is wrong with you, Dr. Brian? You should know. That's my dad, by the way, just so everybody knows, right? Somebody be like, ooh, who's he calling out? It's my dad. It's an example, okay? He wasn't here 15 minutes late. He was teaching Sunday school. He was here, okay? Got to make some things clear, right? People are like, ooh, what's going on? I've seen people do that. Can I tell you, that is spiritual manipulation. That's spiritual abuse. I saw a pastor, literally, where Brother Kevin Jameson was sitting. I was sitting like right behind. And I saw a pastor, literally, as he's preaching. I don't know what happened. Maybe the guy rolled his eyes or something, right? I've seen some of you roll your eyes at me too. No, I'm just kidding. I think the guy must have rolled his eyes and the pastor stops and he starts talking to him. He's like, how dare you roll your eyes at me when I'm preaching? And literally comes down. I was there. Literally comes down off the platform, walks all the way back, says, you want to take this outside? I think he would hurt me, so I'm not going to do that. That is spiritual abuse and manipulation. Using this, he said. Hello. He says, if a man smite you on the face, may I say, there is a place and time to correct if something needs to be corrected. There's a place and time. Should never be done publicly unless we're talking about an open sin or something like that. But he says they're abusing their authority. They're abusing you spiritually. And notice what he says in verse number 21. Notice the third thing we find here, and then we'll be done. He says the shame, he points out the shame of tolerating this abuse. There's a shame here. He says, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Paul says, in essence, you think I'm weak because I'm not willing to treat you the way that these other false teachers are treating you. Paul says, when I was with you, he says, and even later he says, I was gentle with you. As a mother is gentle with her newborn babe. I was gentle. And they mistook his gentleness for weakness. They thought, well, because he doesn't look the part, because he doesn't sound right, that he can't be right. And instead of listening to what was actually being taught, they simply looked on the outside. You know, people often admire controlling leaders because they look confident. Man, they have charisma, they've got confidence, and yet they don't understand that if we're talking in the spiritual sense, we're talking a spiritual aspect here, if we are trying to become more like Jesus Christ, Jesus said in Matthew 23, the greatest among you shall be your servant. Shall be your servant. Jesus shows us how we are to be. Jesus shows us exactly what he wants us to be. It's not dominate and abuse spiritually. It's not strength. It's sin. It's sin. And this is why Paul says, I'm very concerned about you. And as Christians, can I say, we have to make sure that whatever church we're a part of, are these things being done? Are they trying to control us? Are they exploiting us and just consuming? Are they self-promotion? Are they self-promoting? Are they abusing their authorities? Because if he says if they are, that's not Christ-like. That's not the way Christ wants us to be. Jesus doesn't enslave us when we come to him. He frees us. He doesn't devour us. No, he feeds us and he helps us to grow. And as a church, we have to make sure, look, I don't know how long I don't know how long God's going to have me be the pastor of this church here. One day, someday, there's going to be a new pastor. Are we going to just look at charisma? Are we going to look at appearance? Are we going to look and say, hey, wait a minute, what's the doctrine that is being taught? What's the truth of the Word of God? No, I'm not planning on leaving. Some of you are like, is pastor planning on leaving something? No, I'm not. But I'm saying, as Christians, we have to be willing, we have to be discerning enough not just to look at outward appearance, because can I tell you something? That is what is deceiving the world today in a lot of what is called Christianity. They're looking simply at the outward appearance. They're looking at the person. They're looking at the programs. They're looking at the events, everything that's going on, instead of saying, what is the truth that is being taught? What is the doctrine? And how is this going to help me to grow spiritually and become more like Jesus Christ? And as a church, we have to determine that we're going to say, wait a minute. No, we want to stick to the Word of God. We want to stick to what is doctrinally true. And this is why Paul says, look, this is what you're allowing. And if a church or a preacher does not reflect the Spirit of Jesus Christ, if we're not reflecting Jesus Christ in what we're doing and how we're living, no matter how successful it looks, it's false. It can look successful and look like, man, they're really growing and everything, but it's false if they don't have the Spirit of Christ in it. And this is what Paul says, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. He said, it's not just about the outward appearance, it's about the truth. It's about the Word of God. It's about doctrine. It's about helping people to grow spiritually. And so he warns them, and he says, hey, you need to be aware. Now again, we just looked at this before. Why? Because the devil is in disguise. And he brings in these guys that may look good and they call themselves preachers and they say they're apostles of Christ and ministers of Christ and ministers of righteousness. And what did he say? They're of the devil. He says, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. And so he says, hey, Christians, yes, God has given me as the pastor the responsibility to help to warn. That's the job of the shepherd, to help to warn. But look, we've got to be growing individually in our walk with God to be able to be discerning, to say, wait a minute, yeah, looks good. Yeah, everything on the appearance looks right, maybe looks successful. But when we start digging down deep and we start finding out what they believe and what they teach and what they're doing, no, this isn't lining up with Scripture. You understand? You have to know Scripture well enough to be able to be discerning between the truth and what is false. And so many Christians are just, well, we'll just follow the pastor. No. You've got to be discerning enough to know what is true, what is false. Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord, as a church, as individuals, that we would have a desire to know your word more and more. We would desire to grow in our walk with you. And Father, I pray that you'd help us as a church to always preach the truth. Lord, we have a great heritage here. And Father, I pray that you would continue that heritage, that the truth would always be preached, that sound doctrine would be the focus of this church and helping people to come to know Jesus and helping them to grow in their walk with Jesus Christ. Lord, maybe there's somebody here this morning that maybe they don't know Christ as their Savior. Lord, maybe you're speaking to their heart about that. Maybe there's some in this church that are maybe they've gone online and they're watching YouTube and all these other things, and they're starting to be led astray by these false teachers. Oh, they sound good. They look good. Lord, when you get right down to it, they're not teaching your word. They're leading people astray. So, Father, I pray you'd help us. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about. Friend, I know this morning I didn't say much about salvation. But maybe you're here this morning and maybe God has spoken to your heart and you know you're not saved. And you know today you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Friend, we would love to have someone take the word of God and show you how you can be saved. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm uncertain. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died where I would go. I'm uncertain about that. If that's you this morning, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out or anything, but I would like to pray for you. And if that's you, would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Just put it up, put it right back down. Nobody's going to come to you. Not going to call you out. Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. And Christian, are we getting in the Word of God enough to be discerning enough to recognize that it's not just about the appearance of someone, it's not just about how good they can talk, but you and I as Christians have to be discerning enough and get in the Word of God to know truth and to know when someone is trying to lead us astray or whether they really are helping us to become more like Jesus Christ. The only way we can do that is getting in His Word, studying His Word, finding out about Him, drawing closer to Him. Are you doing that? Not as the pastor doing that. No, that's not. Are you doing that as a Christian? Are you in the Word growing in your walk with Jesus Christ? With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, let's just stand quietly this morning. The piano's just going to begin to play softly. Maybe there's something that God has spoken to your heart about this morning. Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, I just need to talk with you. I need to do business with you, whatever it might be. Friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'd love to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. It's the most important decision you can ever make in your life. In a few moments, I'll be out in the lobby and I'd love to make an appointment with you. We can sit down together and show you how you can be saved. Christian, are you getting in the Word of God? Are you growing in your walk with the Lord? So that you will not be led astray and deceived by false teachers, these ministers of righteousness and of light that are not true teachers of the Word of God. This was a church. Paul said, this is what they've done to you. And you allowed it to happen. We need to know the Word of God so that we can truly know the difference between what is true and what is false. Maybe you've been in a church and you've been hurt. You've experienced that spiritual manipulation. Friend, I'm sorry. I don't wish that on anyone. I'm sorry that you had to experience that. But I can tell you this, as much as in me can say this, you won't find that here. We care about you, and we want you to grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. We want to help you to know him more. However we can. But we want you to search the scriptures yourself. We want you to know God's word, because I want you to check me too. We've got to have a deep foundation in God's word, rooted deeply to know him. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us, Lord, to have a greater desire to be in your word, to know you. Lord, I pray that you would help our church, Lord, to always want to help people to draw closer to you in their walk with you and help them to grow. Lord, I do pray, Lord, if there is someone today that does not know Christ, that you would help them. Lord, speak to their heart. We might make an appointment later on in the week or something, and they can know Jesus. Father, we just thank you for your word, and help us, Lord, to get in it more. Lord, just examine it more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.